Biblical writers use a variety of metaphors to talk about God because it helps us human beings have some picture in our minds of what God is like. In the first two verses of this passage, the prophet Isaiah calls God my beloved and describes God as a gardener who planted a vineyard to grow fine grapes. But notice as we read this passage that by the third verse, it is not the prophet who is speaking, but it is the voice of God that we hear speaking directly to the people of Isaiah, of Israel and Judah. So from Isaiah 5, let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Our second passage today comes from John, the 15th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus must certainly have heard and known the paragraph from Isaiah that we have just read. Similar to Isaiah, in this passage from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus calling God my Father and using a word picture of God as the gardener who cares for a vineyard. Jesus calls himself the vine, and his followers are the branches. So from John 15, we have this message from Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for gardens and growth and beauty and fruitfulness. Help us to grow as branches of the Jesus vine. Amen. One of the volunteer tasks that I have enjoyed at North Prospect Union is helping to care for the lawn and for the amazing bushes and trees and flowers that surround this place and fill the grounds of beauty at every season of the year. You are blessed to have Penny Light here, a horticulturist who has planted in the soil such a wonderful variety of plants. And you are blessed to have other volunteers who have continued to help care for these grounds through the years. So, this is for you. If you have ever mowed the lawn, trimmed the hedge, planted a flower, pruned a bush, or helped to care for the church yard and garden in any way, I would like to ask you to stand up. Would you do so? And raking leaves. There you go. Oh, that got some more people up. Thank you for caring for the church lawn and grounds. It has only been since June that I have had the privilege of helping with some mowing and some trimming and some pruning. It is a privilege to work in a garden because when you work with plants, you know that you are seeing a miracle every single day. You see seeds become tiny shoots. You see small plants become large and strong. You see the growth of gorgeous flowers, and you marvel at their extraordinary but fragile beauty. You see how plants need to be pruned and shaped to produce more flowers or fruit. In June, the roses on the Quincy Street part of the yard were stunning, with a profusion of large pink blossoms. It was my task to help prune off the flowers that were past their prime and cut them back when they stuck through the fence so that they did not intrude on the sidewalk. That gave me the opportunity to take home some of the roses to my lady friend, and that pleased her while I cleared the sidewalk. So, roses? Now these photos of roses were not taken here, but they're similar to the roses that are out there now. In a couple of weeks, most of those roses were gone, and I thought that their season was ended. But another crop of roses blossomed in late July, and again their beauty and fragrance blessed this neighborhood. And a few are still blooming. How could this be? One part of the answer is that they were pruned. They were cut back at the right time after they blossomed so that they would bloom again. Pruning helps a plant. As Penny says, they like to be pruned. It helps them to do what God designed them to do. When you work in a garden, if you are thoughtful, you know that you are working with God. You know that the work that you are doing is holy work because a garden is a gift from God. We can dig holes, we can plant seeds, we can fertilize, we can bring water, we can cut, we can prune, but it is God who provides the miracle of growth. Isaiah called God a gardener who dug out space on a very fertile hill to plant a vineyard of choice vines. Isaiah says that God cleared the vineyard of stones, built a wall around it, and a watchtower to protect it. God expected it to grow good grapes. Grapevines require a mild climate. They require moisture and good soil. These photos were taken near the Finger Lakes of New York State, where there are many vineyards. So here is a vineyard bearing fruit. Jesus called God his Father and described God as a vine grower who removes the branches of the vine that do not bear fruit. But God prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will bear more fruit. In fact, Jesus told the disciples that they had already been pruned or cleansed. The word can be used both ways, by the words that he had spoken to them. So they were already pruned by Jesus' words. In my yard, we have two tomato plants. And recently, we've enjoyed some fresh, delicious tomatoes off the vine. In part, that is because we cut off the suckers, those large branches that grew up early but had no flowers on them. They were taking energy away from the plant, and so they needed to be removed. Other branches needed to be trimmed a bit, those which were too close to the ground, those which had turned yellow or dried out. That care helped to focus the energy of the plant in those branches where the fruit would develop. We who are Jesus' disciples also need to be pruned. This is true both of the congregation and of individual disciples. As a congregation, we sometimes get stuck in those seven last words of the church, which are, "We have always done it this way." Sometimes we've grown wild grapes instead of good grapes, like the vineyard described in the Isaiah verses. The prophet feared that God had already given up on that vineyard of Israel and Judah. So we who are part of God's vineyard need to pay attention. We have a calling as Jesus' disciples to be in ministry in this community. We celebrate God's presence and we seek the fullness of what God calls us to be. So in our life together, what do we need to prune and what do we need to fertilize? What takes energy away from our core mission? And what is a blessing in this community of faith and the neighborhood which surrounds it? As individual disciples, we also need to be pruned. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. There may be certain habits of our thinking and our speaking that are not very helpful for us and need to be removed. We may have let our temper get out of control. We may have let our pride get the best of us. We may have forgotten that we are part of the Jesus branch. And we may have lived with the illusion that we are self-sufficient and do not need other people. We may have forgotten to be courteous, compassionate, and respectful of others. You know better than anyone else where the pruning needs to take place in your own soul and spirit. Does it hurt a plant when you cut back its branches and trim away the suckers? Since a plant does not have the same kind of nervous system that people have, no, it does not hurt. But for us humans, when we have to face some hard truths about ourselves and change our ways, there could be emotional pain. But that pain may lead to new growth, just as pruning a plant can lead to new growth. A man who I will call Bruce had a problem. He was in his 70s and he was living alone, his wife having died and his children far away. Bruce was worried about taking care of his home. He had always been able to maintain his home well, but now the burden of his care seemed overwhelming. A cheerful volunteer at the local hospital, Bruce was usually outgoing and optimistic, but now Bruce became withdrawn. And his church friends noticed and asked the pastor to visit him. In the course of the conversation, it became clear to both of them that Bruce needed to talk about his worries with a skilled counselor. So the pastor made a referral. After a few sessions with his caring counselor, Bruce was able to work through or prune away the issues that worried him, and he regained his usual, normal, cheerful, and hopeful spirit. Spiritual and emotional pruning helps a person to fulfill their purpose, to become stronger and more beautiful, to lift their branches toward the sun. The prophet Isaiah said that the vineyard of the Lord is the people of Israel and Judah. God planted this vineyard to grow good fruit, but rather God saw that there was violence rather than justice and righteousness. So when his vineyard failed to produce good grapes, God the gardener decided not to prune it anymore, but to tear down the protecting wall and to let the vineyard be overrun with briars and thorns. This is God's harsh judgment expressed against the people of Israel and Judah. But this is not the God of compassion that we meet in the New Testament. William H. Willimon, who's a well-known Christian pastor, author, teacher, and leader, has created a lot of discussion by suggesting that many small congregations ought to close. He says that some small churches become ingrown, only concerned about the welfare of their own members rather than the larger community, and that they do not welcome newcomers because of their insufferable triviality. Willimon says, they drain human and financial resources from the denomination. The question at the heart of this discussion is whether small congregations are bearing fruit. I believe that many small congregations like this one are vital centers for spiritual formation and growth, places where our children begin to learn about the basics of our Christian faith, and where adults can continue to grow and learn throughout their lives. Learn how to be a Christian and how to follow Christ. Here we learn our connection with the spiritual seekers who have gone before us, those who've taken the message of the Bible seriously. Here we learn how our story intersects with the stories of the people of the Bible. I have found this church to be a place of hope and peace. It is here that we learn to know God. It is here that we may find mutual support for our ministries out beyond these walls in the world. So I'm glad for the spirit of this congregation, and I pray that it may always bear good fruit. We are sometimes tempted to think that we do not need each other, but we do. We are organically connected to one another like the branches on a vine. It is sometimes not easy to live with the other branches, but all of us draw energy, life from the vine, that is, from Jesus. When we draw our life from Him, we get connected to the other branches, like it or not. And the strengths of the other branches will be a blessing to us. Jesus told his followers, "Abide in me as I abide in you." And he said, "Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit." The connection we have with Jesus gives us strength to do good work in the community. Now I would like to give you an assignment today. When we have coffee hour, I would invite you to take a cookie and a cup of coffee perhaps or whatever and walk outside, walk around our grass. The garden gate is unlocked, so please go in, walk around the yard in the rear Look around at all the beautiful plants in the yard. Look at the flowers with their many colors. Can you find white, yellow, pink, blue, and purple flowers? They're all out there. Notice that the Rose of Sharon tree, which is right out here near Osgood Street, has blossoms in two colors on one tree. Amazing. Look for one or two trees or bushes or flowers that you have not noticed before. That's part one of your assignment. The second part is this. Consider that you are a part of God's garden. You are a branch of the Jesus vine. It is God's purpose for you that you bear good fruit. Because God loves and cares for you, God continues to prune you. Sometimes that will hurt, but it will make you stronger and more beautiful and more productive as you draw your life energy from Jesus, the vine. Thanks be to God. Amen.